You're listening to Understanding Disordered Eating with Rachel Heineman, episode 123 with Nechami Tenenbaum. This is the podcast where we talk about all stuff, eating disorder, recovery, body image, and understanding a little bit more about why you do the things you do. Before I talk about Nechami and the podcast, if you haven't already downloaded your free journal prompts, I'm really not sure what you're waiting for. You can head onto the show notes or the website and grab your copy. It's basically a really good start to trying to understand a little bit more about why you do the things you do, specifically in relation to body image and your relationship with food. You can do it at your own pace, you can do it in your own way, or you can do it a little bit more structured. All of the options are there. All right, so a little bit about Nechami. She has an MBA in marketing and is the founder and CEO of Defiance Beauty, which is a high-performance natural cosmetics brand that complements all skin tones, bringing visibility to minorities and women who have been underrepresented in the beauty industry. So you might be able to see where we're going with this conversation. She's also a business and marketing consultant and Enneagram coach. So that's the MBA part, where she works with a lot of high-achieving, creative female entrepreneurs just like us to uncover their superpowers. And she also has a podcast. Her podcast is We Are Women. It's basically a show where women speak their truth, celebrate victories, and just talk a lot about women's stuff. It's a really, really fun podcast. She's also been featured lots of places in media, and we're talking about beauty ideal. So very often on the podcast, we talk about body image and body ideals and all of that and how it connects to relationship with food. But very often, when I talk to people, they're like, well, so there's this idea that a perfect body doesn't necessarily exist. And especially for each individual, each person, you know, couldn't possibly look like one person. Everybody has different body types. And so a lot of what we do is working toward an acceptance of our body. But what about beauty? There's so many different ways to make yourself feel and look more beautiful, like makeup, or maybe all the way on the other side of the continuum with some form of a surgery. But is the beauty ideal similar to the body ideal? Is it unattainable? Is it just women and people in general just trying to feel more beautiful? Is it okay? Is it not okay? And spoiler, I don't necessarily think that there's an answer. And there's definitely not an answer that I can say or anybody can tell you for your life. But we have a really, really interesting conversation about the nuances and the complexities of what makes it really difficult to come to the answer. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Nechami. All right. Welcome, Nechami, to our podcast. I'm so excited to do this. And I think the last few minutes has been so hard to start because I feel like this is just a good opportunity for me to hang out with friends. And obviously, we always have good conversations. So I'm like, why not record one of them? But this is literally me hanging out with my friends, guys. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun. I know. I feel like we're just hanging out. I don't feel like this is an interview.
Yeah. Well, let's see how it goes. We don't know what it is yet.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, just context, especially because most of the people we have on the podcast are clinicians or people in the eating disorder space or therapy space. That's not you. So why don't you share with our people who you are and, you know, what brings you here besides for the personal invite?
Right. Okay. First of all, I just want to say it's very funny because I don't know if you knew this, but I was actually going to become a psychologist. That was my initial career. Yeah. Like I got my undergrad in psychology because I was planning on going to a PsyD program.
Oh, I just thought everyone did. I didn't actually think. No. Oh, I was like, oh yeah, everyone gets their own psych.
Yeah. So, but it really changed. Things changed pretty drastically, and there's a lot of components to what happened here. I'm just like thinking back to it, you know. And okay, so let's start with this. So I was going to get my degree in psychology, and I was looking into. It really goes back to this, actually, believe it or not. So, and I was looking into grad school programs. I wasn't sure which one to go for. I wasn't sure if I should get an MSW or get a PsyD. And I took a break. I took a few months off. And my grandmother was visiting, actually. My grandmother, who's an artist from the city, and she needed some help with her makeup. So I took out this makeup book that I had bought years earlier. And I was showing her, it was kind of like the before tutorials were a thing, I guess. And I was going through the book and giving her tips. Yes. Oh, and I was giving her tips. And she says to me, you know, you're so passionate about makeup. Why don't you go to makeup school? So I was like, okay, let me just do that. So you didn't have to like, it wasn't a major application situation. So although now it is, and that school happens to be, but I was like one of the pioneers, I guess, of students. And I took private classes with the actually vice president of the school and at the time. And she, I learned a lot from her. And I saw that there was a real need for high-end natural cosmetics for all skin tones in the market. And I ended up going, it was a long road because I ended up going to grad school. I got my MBA in marketing instead of psychology. And I launched a few years later. And that's pretty much. And so I'm the founder and CEO of Defiance Beauty by Nihami.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, your makeup is beautiful. And I also loved how, I loved watching your trajectory, just sort of like focusing on the behind the scenes, because I'm not a huge makeup person. I always, in my mind, I'm always thinking like one day we're going to have this full on tutorial and you're going to teach me how to use makeup, whatever, maybe in 20 years from now. But I think part of what draws me to your story, besides for that, I love watching it and I know you, is the why behind a lot of it. And that, and I think this is also part of why I wanted to have this conversation particularly with you, is because every time I think about makeup or makeup brand or a CEO of a makeup brand, I think, you know, aesthetic and superficiality and beautification and things like that. And none of those things come to mind when I think about you and your brand. And, you know, part of the reason why I wanted to have this conversation on the podcast is because we talk all things body image. I think the very natural next question that I get all the time, not necessarily as a question, but as a conversation, is, so then what about the beauty ideal that everybody needs to look a certain way? Your face structure needs to look a certain way. Your lips, you're this, you're that, and the other. And, you know, for a lot of people who have poor body image, we're talking about how dieting is not the answer and work toward body acceptance if you can. And then people are like, well, how does beauty and makeup fit into this? Because isn't that kind of changing or enhancing or something? Is that not accepting? And it gets confusing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you covered a lot and I'm trying to like...
Whatever pops into your brain next.
But I'm going to... Yeah. Let me start by saying, first of all, that's a huge compliment. Thank you so much for saying that, about that you don't see this me and the brand as like superficial. And that... So I'm going to like actually backtrack a little bit. I know you were curious about this as well. So I think it will help answer the question a little bit. I feel like all of your questions so far have been like long stories. But what happened was, is when I launched our brand, so recently did a rebrand. So we originally were called Carmela Cosmetics, as you know. That's mm-hmm. a whole other story. But the point is, when I first launched the brand, I really wanted there to be a deeper meaning behind the brand. I didn't want it to be all about beauty. So we teamed up with different nonprofits to give back to them. So we did 10% of collection was donated to a different nonprofit. So one of the nonprofits that I chose was actually, was NIDA, National Eating Disorders Association. And the reason why I chose that was because I have a very close friend who struggled with eating disorders for years. And I totally missed the signs because it started when we were teenagers and we had literally no education about that. And I really wanted to be able to do something to give back and at least help people, help women in general, even if I couldn't help her at the time. She's doing well now, thank God. Okay, so basically, but it wasn't all only about giving back like financially. It was also really about education and support for all women. So that's really been one of our brand foundations from the beginning, our brand pillars, I should say, from the beginning, which is about giving back to women, supporting women, and talking about things that people don't necessarily want to talk about or that brands wouldn't talk about. So that's where we really stood out. And that's where we stand out, I should say, as a beauty brand, because we do talk about the deeper meaning behind like life and women's stuff in general. So now, in regards to like beauty, what was your exact question?
I didn't have a question, but I think you were just talking about, well, at some point we wanted to talk about the idea of body ideal and beauty ideal. And
oh, yes.
Like, what's okay, what's not okay? And obviously, there's no real answer to what's okay, what's not okay, but just sort of at least trying to figure it out.
So, right. So that's where I was going with this. So I also really made sure, if we're talking about all these things, right, all these conditions or challenges facing women, how could I come as a brand and start making women feel like there's one perfect way to look or one ideal? And which is, by the way, not even something that I believe. So it wouldn't even align with, you know, with my beliefs. But I believe that there is a way of making women feel beautiful in their, you know, no matter what shape, size are. And that's, by the way, why we call, why we rebranded to Defiance Beauty. So we're defying society standards of beauty, because we really believe that there isn't a real standard, you know, it's really a societal thing. So I think a lot of it really comes from the brands. And but you also have to remember that I think that we as consumers have to support the brands that are inclusive. And that's really the way to help change society. Like, I'll give you one example. I remember at one point I was posting, this is, I must have been like 3 or 4 years ago. I decided that I wanted to really see what would happen if I posted women who were not, and I say this with in quotes, like society standards of beauty, let's put it like that. And I have to tell you, we did not do well with those posts. Our engagement went way down. And
I'm not surprised, but that's so sad.
Yeah. And I remember a friend of mine said to me, like around that time, why don't you post more like real women instead of these beautiful models or whatever? And I said, look at my algorithm. We're a small business. Like, what do you want us to do? Like, if it has to start with like the big people, you know what I mean?
And wait, consumer. One second. So you were posting people who just sort of like defy the convention. They're actually more normal. And someone told you you should be posting normal people. What did this person mean, not normal people?
Oh, no. So basically, I guess she hadn't seen those posts, or was a couple weeks later or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I wasn't clear about that. But yeah, I mean, and I was telling her, like, it doesn't, we're not getting engagement. Like, what do you want me to do? You know? And at that point I was thinking, like, we need the people. It's the people who encourage. If you believe that women could be beautiful, even if they're X skin color or X weight or whatever, and you start liking and supporting brands who showcase that, then that's going to help switch, you know, kind of tweak things a little bit.
But I think what you're alluding to is like a little bit of a chicken and the egg thing. And it's hard to break that cycle, because as a brand, and especially a newer brand, you know, some of these brands have been around for decades or maybe even longer than that. And in order to build brand recognition and get people to see what you're doing so that they can benefit from it, you have to put yourself out there, and you have to use tools like social media that has algorithms, and use other marketing tools that appeal to people in very specific ways. And if you're going to reach the masses, then you sort of have to utilize whatever you know about marketing, which it may not necessarily represent entirely what your brand is made of.
Yeah.
So then in order for you to help people, you kind of have to do something that's like against your, like, what it sort of puts you in this impossible position.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that there is the happy medium. Like, for example, what we're doing now is, you're not going to please everyone, right? That's just like, not everyone is always going to think everyone is beautiful, even people who are society standards of beauty, whatever that means. Right. So like for this, for our brand shoot, and what we're doing now is, because we are an aspirational brand, you know, we have women who are from all different cultures and backgrounds, and they're all really beautiful women. And we're showcasing these women as part of our brand image about diversity and inclusivity. And if people have a problem with that because they're not, you know, the blonde, white, Victoria's Secret, whatever, then that's their prerogative. But I think there is a happy medium, which is like, most people would look at these models and say, wow, they're gorgeous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think the question then comes to, where the ideal is and how maybe bigger brands or meaning brands and not necessarily individuals are sort of setting the tone for what beautiful is. And then I think it's more inadvertent. Like a lot of it has to do with marketing, and we live in a capitalist society. Yeah. So everyone wants to and needs to make money, which I totally understand. And I live in, so I also am part of. But at the same time, how is our efforts at marketing impacting people negatively in terms of what you have to look like? And not that anyone's saying you have to look like this, but like, yeah, you want to post beautiful women. And then does that create an issue? I don't know.
Well, that's a really good question. And I think that there is still a responsibility on brands to post and feature women who are still real. Like, even if mm-hmm. they're conventionally beautiful or their skin is great or whatever, there still has to be a realistic aspect of them. Like, we all have pores. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we all have some ridges. We even beauty marks and freckles, which, by the way, I love. And I'm happy
stunning,
that some,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And some brands are totally, you could see that they love them because they showcase them, mm-hmm. you know? But in general, just like showing small little imperfections or just humanity is mm-hmm. really the way to go. Like the problem becomes, this is what I was talking about on my Instagram the other day when we were talking, which is when you start looking like a different person in real life, mm-hmm. like, and this goes for not only social media and like filter usage, but in general, like if you see my models, okay, in person, you mm-hmm. will recognize them. You will know it's them without doing a double take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to me, that you shouldn't be like, wait, you're the same person. You know what I mean? Like, we don't Photoshop.
Right.
Photoshopping should be done. And editing in general, I believe, should be done just to make you look like you look in person. Because the camera picks up everything, right?
Mm-hmm. So
the camera.
Right, like lighting and different fixing things like
yeah.
that.
Exactly. So I'm not saying that if you have a breakout that day that we shouldn't fix that in the, you know, Photoshop. Of course we could, just like you would conceal that in real life. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if you're going to a meeting and you have a breakout, whatever. But I just think that that's where the line should be drawn. Like if you look like a different person or giving mm-hmm. yourself plastic surgery, literally through abs, that's crazy.
So it's very interesting that you bring up the plastic surgery, because in my mind, the continuum almost starts with makeup or very little makeup, just sort of like eyeliner kind of makeup, and meaning nothing cover-up-ish. And then on the other end is surgery. So actually going under the knife in order to alter your appearance and the entire continuum of beauty ideals and getting to this version of you that you want to be. Now, I think that, you know, sort of what I keep circling back to, and we both do, is that there's nothing inherently wrong with trying to be a more beautiful version of yourself, but where on the continuum do you fall? And also, why are you doing it? So I guess, yes. you know, one thing that you're saying is when you become a version aesthetically of yourself that is not recognizable, if you were actually see you on the street, then perhaps there's something going on here. But I guess, you know, understanding the why might be really helpful as well. I don't know. There's something about it that obviously the answer is going to be very different for different people. But even I'm thinking about when you're saying having a breakout. So is that something that's, I mean, yes, it's considered standard for somebody to put on some sort of cover up or concealer or whatever. Honestly, I'm totally not knowing any names, which just outs me here. But like, so is that a standard? Like, let's say I have a breakout and I don't feel like covering it up. Then what happened? I mean, nothing actually happens, but like, where is the standard and why is that the standard?
Right. It's so interesting because, okay, so if we're going to talk about standards, then we have to also realize that there is, or point out that there are different standards depending on where you come from, your community, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and by the way, those standards really do affect like who you are, like your why. So it's, mm-hmm. there are a lot of
for
components
sure.
to this. It's interesting because I guess this is where we talk about like part of, okay, so it's interesting because you grew up like not wearing a lot of makeup, obviously, because you weren't into
whatever.
That, right? And like, which is great. No, but it's like, and then the question is like, it's so funny because also when I don't wear makeup, I almost feel like there is a certain openness that I find, like, I could be like more authentic almost. Huh. You know what I mean?
I love that you're saying that. I was expecting you to almost say naked, because that's what people say. Like, oh, I feel so naked if I'm not wearing anything. But I love that.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I didn't always feel like this. I think it was a more like recent evolution to my makeup journey. And it's funny because I have felt at different points in time, like, oh my gosh, what happens? Like, if I, okay, so I'm confident enough that today, let's say, that I can go out of my house wearing no makeup because my skin looks great or whatever. And I'll go to the grocery store, but let's say I bump into like one of my followers and she sees that I'm not wearing any makeup. Like, does that look bad for me, like, as a brand owner? Right. And that was how I used to think. Like, that was, you know. And then one day I said to myself, like, you're human. Like, you don't have to, if someone owns a chocolate factory, do they always have to be sitting there eating chocolate? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not a thing.
Right.
And so I'll tell you, it's funny because I think as a teenager, I think I just didn't feel beautiful. Like, I really didn't. And I, right when I was able to start wearing makeup, I used it as like to help me feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I'm sure you remember that smoky eyes was like really in when we were in high school. And also like the heavy foundation, the heavy, like the contour. And it's pathetic really, because that's when you don't need it. Like, your skin is, you're a teenager, you have like baby skin. I mean, well, besides for the breakouts, but you know what I mean? Like,
besides just for those tiny things that never happened to anybody as a teenager.
No, I struggled with those for a while. Yeah. But like, I would do like the heavy smoky eye and like the heavy contour. And I thought I looked gorgeous. Like, I really did. Like, looking back, I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, I thought, you know what I mean? I remember my dad would make jokes like, did you just like punch yourself in the eye? And I'm like,
right, oh,
it's like a survey. But basically, and then like even when I launched my brand, I was still, which was like 6 years ago, I still really felt more comfortable going out in public wearing makeup. But I'll tell you something. I think that part of it was societal, was based on my community, because that was the norm, that you go, especially as like a single woman, go like dating, you want to put up, like, you know, show your best self. So what does your best self mean? It means look put together, you look as beautiful as you can, you know, that kind of thing. And then as the years went on and I, you know, developed more into myself and felt more beautiful in my own skin and confident in my own skin, I realized that it definitely makes me feel, there's a difference between feeling beautiful and feeling like glamorous and feeling, and or feeling like very pretty or just like whatever, you know, or looking more awake because you look really tired and you just want to look more like yourself and not, you know, like half dead version. And I think that really, a lot of it was very, just like a very organic evolution of my journey. You know what I mean? And then now I'll go out without any makeup, and sometimes I hope that I don't see anybody, because, you know, I just,
sometimes we all hope that. So, you right. Know.
Yeah. But then there's also another part of it for me. It's like, it was almost part of my identity. And it was like, what happens if people see me like this? Then what are they going to think? Or who am I without makeup? You know what I mean? Like, cause like I'm Nechami from like, first it was Carmela, now it's like, you know what I mean? But so it was just like a very weird, I had to like come to terms with a lot of my thought process and alignment in regards to like,
yeah. But yeah. I think you're alluding to a very important point, which is obviously like there isn't like a three-step way to get here, but a lot of the similarities between pursuing this perfect body, pursuing this beauty ideal, is that when you are on your quote journey and you're doing whatever you're doing to feel good about yourself, because you don't necessarily feel that good about yourself inherently, then we can sort of say this might be more of a crutch, not necessarily a bad thing, but this might be more of a crutch. And then as you work toward a little bit more self-confidence, self-esteem building, then it becomes less of a necessity, which means that, you know, of course, like use it as an accessory or however you want to use it. But the, I guess the ideal is that we wouldn't use this as something to make us feel good about ourselves, that we would feel more confident on our own. And this, I guess, I'm sure people are thinking like, okay, that's really nice, but I just don't. I'm not there yet. I'm not at a place where I feel ready to give up my diets or give up my makeup or give up my Botox or whatever it is. And like, I think maybe to that person, I would say, let's look at it on a continuum. Like, are we ever going to say to give up your makeup? Maybe not. Like, maybe the diets are harming you. Maybe the Botox isn't the best for you. I honestly don't know anything about Botox. Like, maybe some things aren't the best for you, but like, I don't think we would ever say to get rid of makeup. Like, maybe
right.
Every single person is different. We don't know what the makeup is doing for you. And I think that this is also something that I think about. A lot of people struggle with the body image piece and the beauty ideal piece. Like, what's the alternative is that I don't care how I look at all. And that is absolutely not true. Like, we're humans. We care about how we look. And more importantly, we care about how we take care of ourselves. And so putting ourselves together is one version of taking care of ourselves, especially like, you know, if let's say we have an event and we want to feel glamorous for a night or something like that, there is nothing wrong with that. If anything, it means you respect yourself enough to give this gift to yourself. So, you know, it's complicated. It's complicated. Every person is also different.
Yes. Yes. I know. I'm so glad you brought that up, by the way, about like dropping makeup, because I don't believe that we should stop wearing makeup.
It's also not in your best interest for people to drop makeup. Exactly. People do not drop makeup.
I really enjoy makeup. But I think it's, like you said.
And that you can tell, by the way. That comes through.
Thanks. I appreciate that. But like, you know, it's really about using it as a crutch versus using it for fun or just to feel like mm-hmm. your best self or even to give yourself a boost of confidence. Like, there is a science behind color theory. There really is. You know, when you put on that red lipstick, you feel more confident. It's something about that. I mean, if you feel good in red, you know what I'm saying? But like, which color did you order, by the way? Which?
I don't remember. It was like one of the nudes. The reds are so, to me, there's so much room for error. And here goes my inability to, not inability, but I'm not a makeup person. The red is like, if you do like a dot out of the line, then it looks quacked. So no thanks.
It's true. But no, there is definitely, there is real science behind it. And I believe that there's a way to use it. But this is something that only you can know. You can't know mm-hmm. this about someone else. Well, you can feel it sometimes if you're energetically sensitive. But I really believe that it's about knowing yourself and understanding, like you said, your why. Why are you wearing this? You know, and I do this to myself all the time, not consciously, but if I ever think about it, like, you know, when someone brings it up, like you did, there is definitely a science to it. And there's a way, like, I would think to myself, why am I, okay, for example, before a date, I want to feel more glamorous. I want to respect the guy so he sees that I made some effort to, you know, look beautiful for this date, because that is a societal standard, right? Like, you put on makeup usually when you're going out in our community on a date. Fine. Or for Instagram, because I have a makeup brand, so I'm going to put on makeup. Or if sometimes I'll say to myself, I literally feel gross today. Like, the bags under my eyes are just too much. I feel bloated. I'm pale. I'm going to put on makeup so I could look like my best self. Like, I'm healthy today. My face mm-hmm. has a glow, you know? And I think it's important to recognize that versus, oh my God, I feel ugly. I'm not attractive. I need makeup to help me get mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. And it's a different narrative in your mind.
Yes. It's like the narrative. And I also will say though that, and people don't realize this, but most women, even the most beautiful women, and I've had discussions with hundreds of women at this point about this, have something that they don't feel confident about in the way that they look. Yeah, it's just the way it is, you know, and I'm not going to start, like, for example, for me, like, I'm saying everybody I feel like has something that they mm-hmm. don't, you know, and like for myself, under my eyes, I have the worst bags, like so bad, probably because just this color, like I have like redness because of allergies. Right. So have I thought about getting like the fillers? Yeah, totally. I'm actually more nervous. It's really about like putting something under my eye that, you know what I mean? That's why I'm more nervous. I mean, who said I might do it one day. I really might, but, mm-hmm. but it won't be because I feel ugly. It's because I want to feel more confident in the way that I present myself. So I don't like, I have bags. I don't want to have that. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think it's also nuanced. Like there isn't anything wrong with making a decision. If, if let's say we do assess that it comes from some sort of quote deficit that all of a sudden you can't do it because it's coming from the wrong reasons. Like, no, I think part of this conversation is really just to start bringing awareness to your own thought process and why you'd like to do something, why it's important to you. And if there's possibly another way to do it, like working on your self-esteem or confidence or whatever it might be, could that be achieved in a way that actually builds it as opposed to just slaps a Band-Aid on it? And if it is about the filler or about the makeup and it's something that excites you and is really interesting to you, like go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I think also it gets out of hand when like the other night I saw this woman and from the side profile, I could tell that she had so much work done. It was And people just got so addicted. And at that point, it's really a lack of self-esteem. And it shows, like the whole world sees it.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to show your insecurities to the whole world? I mean, I just think that there are some ways, and I mean, you're a therapist, so you would tell me if you disagree with this, but like, if you feel, you know, insecure about a feature or whatever, before you take care of it, like with plastic surgery or Botox, or whatever, it's sometimes good to like look in the mirror and look at things that you do appreciate about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for
sure.
I think what you were talking about before is like, I'm sort of like equating the insane beauty ideals to the insane body ideals. And when somebody takes it to the nth degree, and I know this is not like a conscious, like deliberate process, and someone doesn't choose to have an eating disorder, but like when it gets too far, when someone really plummets into this like body shame and it really takes them down a dark hole, which becomes an eating disorder. In my mind, I'm not saying that people who do a lot of work on their face or body, I'm not diagnosing anybody, but to me, I see them as further down on the continuum to somebody who's really, really not happy with how they are. And they'll go to such an extent to make it look different, which is obviously risky, but also just reflects on what's missing. So I guess what I'm saying is like the entire thing is a continuum. And yeah, maybe I would be concerned about somebody who is going to such an extent to really change how they're looking. They're not just like putting on filters, which like we've said is, you know, problematic in and of itself, although fun at the same time. They're actually going through surgery. And so there are different stages of this. And if you're able to look in the mirror and point out things that you're appreciative of, then you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also about it's almost like you're wearing a mask. You know, I think when it becomes like a mask.
Analogy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like another element of it, that when it becomes like that, at that point, you have to really think to yourself, like, why? Like, there has to be some sort of deeper issue here and it has to be dealt with, because it's just unhealthy and it's just a really horrible way to live your life. You know, like you have to apply a ton of makeup. Like you have to, it's the have to, you know, or you have to use intense fillers, or you have to or you have to get Botox in order to feel attractive. Forget about beautiful, just like attractive. You know what I mean?
Right. And that also comes to something that we talk about all the time about body image. Like, what is the beauty ideal associated with? So does it feel like you're not attractive? Like no one's going to love you. No one's going to like you or want to hang out with you as friends. You won't like, what won't you have? You won't get a job. What is your association with this beauty ideal? What is this person, this hypothetical beauty ideal person have that you don't have? And I think that's sort of a window into someone's much deeper work, which is obviously, I'm biased, but a useful path to go on. I have one more question for you, just popped into my mind, and no pressure if you don't have any ideas right now, but I'm curious, as a brand owner, as a CEO of a makeup company, what is your hopes and dreams for the industry, specifically for your brand, like how to help women in this really crazy world of beauty ideals? I mean, specifically, there's a lot of other things that make our world crazy, you know.
Right, for sure. in regards to beauty ideals, I really want every woman to feel seen and feel visible. This has been a huge part of our brand. And what that means is I want them to look at advertisements, to look at what beauty brands are putting out there, and to see themselves. Everyone should see themselves. And I think that would really help women with self-esteem and confidence. And because when you see yourself, you don't have to start changing your body or changing your face to look like someone else.
Right. So you feel included, you feel seen.
Yeah.
And there's something also about being part of the pack. Obviously, we're all individuals, but there's something so powerful about feeling like we belong that allows us to be individuals. Like, we don't have to aspire to be the next person. So if they're able to pick someone out and say, I kind of look like this person, it's not like then I have to change something to look like this person, which is so empowering.
Exactly. Because I'm sure you remember, like, when we were kids, it was like, I think of Britney Spears era and what's her name? The other blonde girl or whatever. She was blonde at the time. And everyone was trying to be blonde and blue eyed.
You know what I mean? No judgment at all.
Right. But, Christina Aguilera, right? So they were all like blonde. Yeah. And it was like, I remember speaking with a friend of mine. She's Chaldean and she's dark. Brown hair, blue, brown eyes, beautiful woman, like stunning. But she told me that when she was in high school, she was dyeing her hair blonde and wearing blue lenses because she did not feel because she didn't feel seen. She didn't feel like she was like, oh, the beauty standard is blonde, blue eyes, right?
Right.
So that's such a great, it's like the perfect example of what so many girls and women go through, because when they don't see themselves, they start trying to be like someone else. So that's a huge thing. And I also think that really overdoing like the filters and Photoshop is a big problem, because that also, it's not realistic. Like, no one looks like this. No one.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, it's so hard. I mean, sometimes the filters are so outlandish that it's, you can totally tell and it's ridiculous. And sometimes, and I think this is over the last year or two, I think TikTok has gotten really good at fine tuning their filters, and they look like just a little bit better than real life. And so it's not this like eyelashes out to wazoo. It's just like a really beautiful, I forget what the name of it was. Once there was like this massive whole stir up about one of the filters, but I think that's the issue. And we can point out, oh, that's a filter. Then we at least can create space. Like, okay, this is not even them. But the subtle ones, I think those are the ones that are much more dangerous. And, you know, sometimes it feels like the opposite of empowering, whatever that word is, because it's like, it doesn't feel like there's anything we can do. These are massive social media brands and other companies that are just sort of like dangling this in front of our eyes.
Well, I will say, though, something empowering is that it's really, the consumers are becoming like almost, like we have more control. We have more of an impact, I should say. As consumers, think about the whole social media and influencer era, right? Like all of a sudden, celebrities are associating with these influencers and trying to get them to support these like A-list celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. Because they know that influencers are helping out. And these are people who just have a brand and the brand is themselves. And they have a following and they've created this whole, it's really amazing impact. And so it really is about the people, like how we can have such a huge impact to change things. Even like, you know, Jax, the singer, she's a singer, but she writes songs. Do you know who she is?
Mm.
On social? So you heard the Victoria's Secret song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's her.
No, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So someone like her, who literally has zero following, she was just a girl from wherever she was from Jersey, I think, you know, is huge now because, and really got people to start talking about, have this conversation about unrealistic body sizes, right? Because it's Victoria's Secret. So I think if we realize the impact that we each have, and the power that we all have, even as small brands, small businesses, that starts affecting change within society as a whole, and even the bigger brands, because they see things, like they see what's going on, you know?
Right. That's true. So this is not to come full circle, but to a certain extent, yes, this is sort of where like, okay, so who becomes influencers? Sometimes there are really, really talented people who have something to offer and people flock to them. And those, I think, to a certain extent, are the minority. A lot of times people who are influencers look a very specific way and they have a lifestyle that looks a very specific way that is completely unattainable for the masses. So their body, their face, their life, the people in their life is just, quote, perfect. And I think that sort of ends up contributing to the issue as opposed to the other way around. So then, you know, we're sort of like fighting on a few fronts. But what I'm hoping and what I'm taking from what you're saying is that there's a lot more hope in this situation because there are so many brands and there are so many influencers or just people out there that are really pushing for more inclusivity and more diversity so that we can all feel like ourselves and not, you know, for the entirety of our lives pursue something that's completely outside of what we can possibly attain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's a really good point about the influencers who definitely have the so-called perfect life. But I also just want to say something about that, which is even those perfect lives are really not that perfect. Some very often, like behind the scenes, right. It really sucks for them. I mean, seriously, like I can tell you, like, you know, people who I know, but some of them really do. They're extremely wealthy and they have a wonderful life. They have a lot of help and they have all their, you know, celebrity friends. And it seems like things are going really well for them. And that might be so, but there's other issues, you know, and there's other drama behind the scenes. And there are a lot of influencers who are just regular, awesome, wonderful people who also like are very normal. They showcase the glitz and glamour and then, which is not even theirs. And then they go back to their regular lives, which is they're not posting about, you know, so.
Right. But I think that sort of comes to the idea of what's a made up face versus what's a natural face of like their Instagram feed or their TikTok, whatever it's called, is their makeup face. And I'm only seeing their makeup face. So I can tell myself that's not real or not necessarily makeup, yeah. Like their fake face.
Yeah,
I can tell myself it's not real, but that's the thing that I'm being shown. And I think that's sort of like the thing we keep driving home is what's on the outside and what people see versus what's on the inside versus where it comes from. And like all of this is just something that we really have to, you know, just be as discerning as we possibly can be.
Yes. And that's so true. And also to unfollow if someone's making you feel less than.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. Obviously I could talk about this like all day and tomorrow, but just for the sake of time, we're going to pause it here. Before I let you go though, where can our listeners find you?
Instagram is where we hang out the most. So that's Defiance Beauty, BN, like by Nakami. And actually, that's our handle for everything. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We are on Twitter. It's just Defiance Beauty. I should start posting there. And then we have a podcast called We Are Women.
It's a really awesome podcast. But where, if they wanted to buy your makeup, where can they buy it?
Oh, right. Of course. So you can buy our makeup at defiancebeauty.com.
I'm so excited. Why am I more excited about your Amazon launch than you?
Oh my God, I forgot. Okay, it's so new. That's so funny.
I'm so and excited Amazon. About it.
Yes. No, that is, by the way, you're so right. No, we're very excited about it. I have to actually post about it more, but we are on Amazon Prime now. So you can grab our stuff and get it 2-day shipping or one day wherever you live, depending on, and we have all of our products there. So we have all of our lipsticks. We have this amazing waterproof eyeliner, which you could grab on Amazon Prime or on our website. And that's hilarious that I forgot about that. Okay. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, thank you again for coming on. This was so fun.
Thanks for having me. It was great.